tight and miserable. And one idea that sometimes is the strongest and the most incorrect is the idea that we are alone. We have all kinds of invisible support that we are usually not availing ourselves of. And the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach us the difference between what's real and what's not. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach us the difference between love and fear. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to give us another way of looking at things that will allow us to have peace of mind. And the Course in Miracles teaches that when you have peace of mind, that's when you can hear the voice for God. The voice for truth, the voice for love. So the purpose of the Course in Miracles is not to manifest more money. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is not to try to attract the perfect job or the perfect soulmate. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach you how to recognize when you're getting ready to take yourself into conflict and when you're taking yourself into more fulfillment and peace. To teach us how to tell the difference between when we're getting ready to fool ourselves again or when we're getting ready to make the right choice that's going to really bring us the inner peace that we're seeking. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach us how to achieve peace of mind. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to teach us how to achieve discernment, how to listen to our own inner guidance, how to get in touch with our source. Because the Course in Miracles teaches that the will of our Creator, God, Creator, whatever term you like to use, the Course says the purpose of your being here is to learn how to experience complete happiness. And we probably set up a pretty good obstacle course. So if you can just let yourself relax and be in this moment right now, you will create more moments of peace for yourself. We're going to continue to go through the part of the course that's teaching us what the Course in Miracles actually says. Because I'm getting ready to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper than I've ever gone before. And some of us have reached our limit in some area of our life to the point that we're really ready now to do it differently. And my classes are especially for the people who have reached their limit in some area and they're ready for a better way. So be willing to be challenged, knowing that you don't have to accept the ideas, you don't have to welcome the ideas, you don't have to believe the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of it's going to be startling. Some of it's going to be hard to believe. Make that okay. Make it okay. Make it okay for you not to necessarily agree with everything or understand everything. On the other side of your discomfort, if it should come up, is all the inner peace that you've always sought for.
That's fine. The brighter the better. We're going to be, if you got the new edition of the book, we're going to be in the preface. Roman numeral 11, which looks like a little X and a little I. It's in the section that's called What It Says. When I first got into the Course of Miracles and I saw that paragraph that says nothing real can be threatened. Says nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. There herein lies the peace of God. That kind of freaked me out. Nothing real can, if it's real, it can't be threatened. If it's unreal, it doesn't exist. If it's real, it can't be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. And I was aware of how many things in my life that appeared that they could be threatened. And so when I saw that, it was like, based on what that was saying, there wasn't a whole lot of real stuff around me. So that was like kind of like a shock. But the paragraph that freaked me out for real that we've been working on is the one that starts out on Roman numeral 11 that says, the world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference, the dominant ideas and wishes and emotions in our minds. Projection makes perception. Then it goes on to say that we look inside first. Like when you walked in the room, he says you look inside first, you decide the kind of world you want to see, and then you project that world outside, and then you make that world the truth as you see it. I decide what I want to see, then I make it the truth for me. That's what the Course says everybody does. They decide what they want to see. And then, because you've seen, haven't you ever had a relationship with someone where they have a perception of you and no matter what you do, it seems like you can't change that perception? Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah,
they've decided what they want to see in you, and then they make that true for them no matter what you do. So one of the advantages of being very centered in yourself is that when you're centered in yourself and you are aware of yourself, then you can tell when someone's projecting on you. And then you don't get caught up in their projection because you know what they're saying isn't true because you know yourself. But when you don't know yourself, then you're tempted to give some power to what that person is saying and go, you know, maybe that is true. Maybe I'm not that way. You follow what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you're not centered in yourself, then you can be swayed by anything that anybody happens to say about you. And the truth is, since projection makes perception, they're basically seeing what they want to see, and then they're making it true for themselves. And he says the way that we make it true is by our interpretation of what we're looking at. Then it says, if we're using our perception to justify our own mistakes, our anger, our impulses to attack, our lack of love in whatever form it may take, we see a world of evil, destruction, malice, envy, and despair. So if a person is looking at, has a life that looks like it's full of despair, the Course says that what you're looking at is the thing that you're using to justify the perception that you have. Then it says that that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is nothing but not trying to be good, not trying to be charitable, but you're going to forgive it because you realize that what you're really looking at is your own interpretation. So since you're only looking at your own interpretation, then if you're full of defenses, it says if you have twisted defenses, then all you're seeing is what's not really there. Like when that person is looking at you and they have a perception of you that you know isn't true, then what that person is actually doing is looking at what's not there. Is that not true? They're looking at something that's not there. That's what the Course says is happening. What they're looking at is the justification that they're coming up with for the way they feel about you. Because they're looking at everything they can to justify the way they feel about you. So they're looking at their interpretations. They're not looking at you. And if you know you're cool, then no matter what they say about you, you'll know it's their issue and not yours. You won't get enrolled in it, and you won't buy into it. But if you believe it's true, then you're going to defend yourself and try to convince them that what they're saying about you isn't true. The Course says what you revolt against is what you believe in. So the thing that you are revolting against is the thing you're giving the power to. So it says that we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, which means that we're going to learn to look past them or forgive. So if I'm going to forgive you, then I'm going to look past my interpretations of you and try to remember that there's a you beyond what I think about you. So forgiveness is looking past my perceptual errors about you. Then it goes on to say, when you do that, you're forgiving yourself, because when you learn how to look beyond your own misinterpretations of other people, you also at the same time are learning how to look beyond your own misinterpretations of yourself. Just like you realize you can be wrong in your interpretation of someone else, your mind will also begin to believe you could possibly be wrong in terms of any kind of negative perceptions you have about yourself. If I can be wrong about myself, about you, if I can be wrong about you, guess what? I could be wrong about me too, when I'm not loving myself. So as I learn that my perceptual errors are causing my pain, I'm also realizing that my perceptual errors are causing my pain, and it's also causing the anger and the upset that I'm having about you. Then people say, well, suppose a person really is being somehow very negative and very evil and very bad. Well, when your perception has been corrected, instead of looking at that as a person that's evil and trying to attack you, you realize that that's a sick mind that's calling for love and calling for help and calling for healing. It's again, it's your interpretation that's going to determine the way you feel about it. Most of us are not being asked to forgive people who have done horrible, horrible, horrible things to us all the time. Some souls are going through that lesson, but I venture to say most of us aren't. So we have to also realize that any spiritual teaching that comes to you is tailor-made for you, for where you are, which means that this spiritual teaching may not be the spiritual teaching that's the best teaching for your friends and your relatives. It's very important to understand that every form that the truth comes in is not for everybody. The form that the truth comes in to you is for you because of the level of consciousness you're on. For someone else to hear what I'm saying right now might bring them more pain than it would bring them peace. So they don't even need to hear that it's their own perceptions that's creating their reality. Because they would bash themselves, which a lot of people call bashing the victim. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they would receive a teaching that would not upset them. They would receive a teaching that would reach them at the level that they're not ready to assume that kind of responsibility for the way they feel yet. So it's important to realize that this teaching came to you, so it's really for you.
Yeah.
It's not for your mom and your sister, your brother, your cousin, your boss.
What about my daughter?
It's not even for them either. They'd be here, or they'd be in something similar, or they would be studying something else, or it would come to them. Because one of the biggest perceptual errors is coming to a class to learn the truth for somebody else. You know, if you're here because you're trying to learn it for somebody else, then you're missing the point. But if you're here because you want to have more peace within yourself and learn how to tell the difference between truth and illusion in yourself, if you want to stop making the mistakes to bring you pain, bam, then you're in the right place. But you might not like it, you might not believe it, and it might not always make you feel good. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can I go on with that, with that awareness in mind? You might not like it. It may not always feel good. You may not always like it. Okay? And some of the stuff you're going to love, some of the stuff you're not. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. So forgiving somebody is looking past their own distorted concepts of themselves to what they really are. And what you really are is on the other side of what you learned and what you experienced in the past. So so in that one paragraph, the entire process was explained. If we just learned that one paragraph, we had a whole thing down. That one paragraph says it all. There's not anything you could ask me that I couldn't answer from that one paragraph. Okay, if you're ready to hear something from the paragraph, go for it. Because I'm just going to say what's in the paragraph. Okay.
When someone's projecting onto you, is that sometimes their perception of themselves?
It's always their perception of themselves.
Okay.
Because they couldn't see it. They could not see it in you unless it was in their own mind. They couldn't even call you selfish unless they had a selfish thought to relate to in their own mind. They'd have to know what selfishness is. And how would they know what selfishness is unless it was in their own experience and in their own mind? So if you really want to be telepathic and psychic, all you have to do is listen to what everybody around you is saying about everybody else, and they're telling you what they're really like. when you really get to know them. So you don't really have to guess about anybody you know. All you got to do is listen to what they're saying about everybody else, and you'll know everything you need to know about them. I swear that's the truth.
And that could work for us, too.
Yeah. Whatever you're saying about everybody else, tells them.
I have a friend. Right. I say, God, she seems angry tonight.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever gotten angry?
Never, if I want.
Okay. Denial is another big problem that we have to work on as we study the truth also. And denial is not a river in Egypt.
Right. That's, sometimes I forget that.
I hate that part. Damn, this is so simple and so great of a book, isn't it, when you think about it?
That is absolutely why there's not a lot of people that study it.
We could heal the entire planet if we all did this one paragraph. Good.
Yeah, well, that's what the Course is saying. If everything is a reflection of your own consciousness, then what's missing in the world is what you're not putting there.
Oh.
So he says we do just the opposite. We project into the world what we don't want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. It took me a while to really get that. That when people talk about the world generally, they're talking about something they don't like about it. Right? So they're essentially looking at what they think they don't want. And then when you talk to the average person, they're going to always tell you what they don't want and what they don't like. So if I don't want something, what do I do with it? I throw it away. If I don't want something, I project it out into my experience. So it's like living in a dump where you're the one that threw all the trash out there, but you're mad because the trash is all around you because you've been throwing it out there, and now that's all you see is the trash. So if I only focus on what I don't like about people, I'm only going to see what I don't like about people.
Yeah.
Okay? So what does that mean? That means if that's true, each and every one of us are living within a bubble of our own perception, which means there must be a reality out there beyond what we think everything is. You ever thought about that? If all you're seeing is what you believe, then there must be something out there beyond what you believe. Right on the other side of what you believe is what's really happening. Like I said, Wednesday, three sides to everything. It's my side, your side, and what really happened.
Totally.
Yeah. It's my side, your side of it, and the truth. And when you listen to anybody, just always know they're giving you their perception of it. You're just hearing their angle and their take. And it's probably not true. As a matter of fact, you know it's not true because they're mad. Because if they were really seeing the truth, if they really knew the truth, if they were really in touch with their power, if they really were in touch with the source, if they really knew who they really were, no matter what was happening, they still have peace about it. I can have peace about you and choose not to be in a relationship with you. I can be totally peaceful and choose not to listen to what you're saying. I can be totally peaceful and don't do what you say. My anger and upset isn't necessary for me to do what's right. So if I was seeing things correctly, I would stay peaceful, but I'd still make the choices that would bring me the most peace and you the most peace. Anger is not necessary for me to do what's best for me. We think it's like necessary. But what anger does is distorts your perception and keeps you from having a clear picture of what's happening so that you don't function at your best. If I was laying down on the floor and had just got hit by a car, and one person ran up to me and they went, "Oh my God, oh 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 my God." I would like be laying there saying, "Please don't do nothing, hold it, just stay back." Right? And if another person walked up there and they went, "Oh, okay, just lie still, stay calm, I'm going to call 911, just breathe." Who am I going to, who's having the most helpful perception of the situation? It's the person that's peaceful. So remember that every time you're upset about something, you are at a disadvantage because your clarity is gone. Okay, that was one paragraph.
Read on.
That was one paragraph. Okay, so it says, sin, and we've all heard that term, is defined as a lack of love. Okay, since love is all there is, then sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit. In the Course of Miracles says the Holy Spirit is nothing but the part of your mind that's in touch with the truth. It's the part of you that knows what's really going on. It's the spiritual part of you that's in touch with what created everything that knows what's going on. He says, so in the sight of a mind that is full of love, which is the Holy Spirit, the Quran says what we're looking at in the world is just a mistake that needs to be corrected. The way that we treat each other is a mistake that needs to be corrected. The way that we treat ourselves is just a mistake that needs to be corrected. So if I see you hurting yourself and putting yourself down and not treating yourself right, then I would see that as a mistake that needs to be corrected if I loved you. If the Holy Spirit in me was seeing you, I see that as a mistake that needs to be corrected, rather than looking at your behavior as an evil that needs to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes, from the strong investment in what? The scarcity principle. Oh, that governs the whole world of illusion. So the Course in Miracles says, we are seeking in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. So when you go out in the world, what you are surrounded by, in most cases, are a lot of people who believe there's not enough. There's not enough of something. Not enough money, not enough compassion, not enough happiness, not enough love, not enough understanding, not enough clothes, not enough, not enough, not enough. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Course says this world out here is based on the principle that there's not enough. There's a scarcity principle. So, since I don't have enough, I'm looking for somebody who can fill me up, who can give me what I am lacking. You know what I'm saying? It's a funny thing. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll see, like you said, let's talk about a guy that's pretty old, that's all of a sudden, like Hugh Hefner is a classic example. Hugh Hefner is almost 80 years old. Yet I was looking at E! Television the other day and they were showing, you know, this special about his five girlfriends. And his five girlfriends were all great friends, and they really loved him. So they said. Now, I think the oldest one was like 22. Yeah, she's about 22. He's 80. Now, I'm going to just throw a test out to y'all. Do you all really think the average 20-year-old, beautiful, quote-unquote, woman is actually would get the hots for an 80-year-old guy if he wasn't Hugh Hefner? I just want to throw that out. What do you think?
I don't know.
I said the average. I'm sure that there are some that are in the 20-year-old bodies that are pretty enlightened enough to go beyond the age thing, because the age thing really ultimately doesn't mean anything.
They're looking for money and security and other things that they think they can't get for themselves.
Exactly. So they're operating from the scarcity principle, which is there's something wanting in me that by hooking up with this person, I can get. Now, all they're doing is acting out what everybody else is doing in their own way, in their own form. They're not any different from any of us when we look outside. Well, it's our bait that we go, this is the perfect person for me, but I need to get my sense of self-esteem from the way they compliment me, talk to me. You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing. That's the same thing. So the Course says that's what the world of illusion, everybody's coming from. Find a need. There's a need. I need to get it filled. And if you are the one who can fulfill my need, then I'll say I'm attracted to you. If I see you as being the one who can give me the thing that I want, that is my attraction to you. Why would I single you out as opposed to anybody else in the room, except that I thought you more than anybody else in the room could fulfill the need that I think I have? That's what the attractions are. There are specific needs you think you have that it looks like somebody can fulfill. And whoever that is the person I'm attracted to. And whoever's attracted to me is because they think that there's some need that I can also fulfill. If this is a being that's not conscious that they're whole within themselves.
Yeah. That's why when you're attracted to someone, you need to go the other way.
If your purpose for being attracted to them is to fulfill a need that you think you have, you should go the other way. You're absolutely right. If you're one whole person that wants to share yourself with another whole person, go for it. That could be one of the most incredible, wonderful experiences you can ever have. But if it's all about you having this need that you're hoping they can take care of, then you are actually perpetuating the very scarcity principle that you think you're trying to get rid of. And if you lose that person, then you're going to lose that thing you think you need. So your first order of business is going to be to imprison them, to make sure they don't get away, so that they can always, you know, it's like locking a cow up in the barn so it's always there so you can get the milk when you want it. But the cow was not in the barn, you might not be able to get the milk. So the first thing we do is we lock up the person that we think we need. we keep them locked up in prison. So a person who doesn't need you will free you. A person that needs you will imprison you. Okay.
But we're taught.
We're taught.
Practically from infancy that there are things we need that only other people can. So I was thinking that marriage, you know, they say it's a 50-50 proposition. But ideally, it should be a 100-100 proposition.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it should be a 100% person hooking up with another 100% person.
That really goes counter to what I see on TV shows and reading magazines.
Right. Everything in the world is teaching you what you need to do to be happy sometime. And everything the Spirit is trying to teach us is how to have an ever-increasing happiness that never ends. The world can only give you up and down. Mm-hmm. It can only give you cycles. So if you want a love that's sometimes there and sometimes not, then do it the way the world teaches. If you get to a level of consciousness in your spiritual growth that you want to know love all the time, then that's a whole different set of rules that you have to express yourself in relationships by. Instead of trying to get something from you, I would want to be a safe shelter for you to express who you are and to come to know your wholeness. So the purpose of our relationship would not be for me to get you to fulfill me. It would be for me to be supportive of you being who you really are and you being supportive of me being who I really am. Now notice, in that process, I'm not trying to get anything from you. Now, here's the weirdest thing about it. I don't know about y'all, but I tend to like to give to people I love and appreciate. Now, I don't know about if y'all got any of those kind of qualities, but somebody I like is the person I say, hey, you want to go? You want me to treat you to a movie? So the whole idea that you wouldn't receive if you weren't trying to get is insane. If someone feels that you are loving them for who they are and supporting them for who they are, then they're going to naturally give. They're going to naturally share the highs that they have within themselves. You don't even have to make them do it. They'll be glad to do it. They'll be so, because you would stand out so much in comparison to all the other people that they know and who they've ever been with, that they would see you as the greatest treasure that they've ever known when they are ready to experience the power within themselves. Now, if they're not ready to experience the power within themselves, they will not appreciate the kind treatment that you give them, because you're giving them something that they don't think they deserve. And so therefore they're going to sabotage the relationship with you, not appreciate you, and get rid of you some kind of way, so that they can be right in their perceptual error that there's something wrong with them. And see, you're making them wrong by treating them right.
Precious man.
Did you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you're making them wrong. But if I'm convinced I'm no good and you're treating me real good, that's an affront to my stance that I'm no good. So I got to get rid of the people who treat me nice when I think I'm insecure and pitiful. Maybe I was programmed, maybe I was taught that as a child, but my core belief is that there's something wrong with me. And so if I believe that, like he says, my perceptual error, I'm going to want to make that true. And how can I make that true with somebody who's loving me, forgiving me, and treating me right? I've got to get rid of that joker so I can be right about how pitiful I am, right? So to make sure I'm right about what's wrong with me, then I'm going to be attracted to everybody who criticizes me, and I'm going to stay as far away from as I can from the people who accept me. So I'll end up in a world where I'm surrounded by people that judge me as being wrong. And then I get a chance to be right about myself. And so all of a sudden you wake up and you go, God, wow, I'm ready to recognize how loving I am. And then the next thing you realize is you've surrounded yourself with all these witnesses to how crappy you are. Right? So you had that moment where you got this new image of yourself, and at the same time you're surrounded by people who don't reflect any of these new ideas back to you, but you don't realize they were there as a result of your old self. So when you first wake up to a higher consciousness, you are going to be surrounded by people who look like they're totally different from you, because they're the way you used to be.
Yeah.
And that's where the test is going to come. See, that's when the test comes. Because now you got to keep telling yourself something you don't see being reflected back to you for a while.
Yeah.
because it's only through sharing an idea, the Course in Miracles teaches us that it is by sharing an idea that it becomes stronger. So the more who believe in the idea, the stronger it becomes. Are you with me on that? So the more I tell you something, the more I'm going to believe it. Whatever I'm telling you is what I'm going to believe more and more and more. So at first I'm being told by this book, you're unlimited, you're innocent, you're free, you're powerful, you create your own experience, you're not alone, you have invisible guys, love is the only reality. And then I'm looking at all the crap going on in my life saying, this is the biggest bunch of I've ever seen in my life. Because there's nothing in my reality that's witnessing to what this book is saying. But projection makes this perception. So what am I doing? What I'm doing is I'm looking at the world that I made based on my old self-image.
Yeah.
That's why the person you form a one-on-one relationship with is the most important person in your life. Because that person is your primary witness. Because that person becomes the person you spend the most time with. So to be in a relationship with someone who is only judging you, criticizing you, condemning you is a great thing to do if you want to be right about how pathetic you are. It is like the best move you can make. If you want to stay convinced that something's wrong with you. But there's one problem according to the Course, and I'm just trying to give you like the shortcut of 25 years of obsession and teaching this, okay? The Course says, when the power of your mind starts to return and your spiritual awakening starts to happen, one of the things that happen is that you become more unable to tolerate minor intrusions of discomfort. So as you wake up to your power, instead of being more patient and tolerant with crap and pain, you become more impatient and more intolerant with pain. See, it's only the person that hates themselves that suffers patiently.
So it's a good thing to be impatient.
Yeah, it's a good thing to be impatient about your peace. The problem is people are too patient about their happiness. They're too patient with their fear. Well, one day, after I do this and this and this and this, then I let myself have this peace that I want. After I finish 6 years of college, then I let my... When my kids grow up, when I get that next raise, when I lose that 10 pounds, when I get rid of my cellulite, you know, when I get that next bottle of Viagra, I'll be happy. It's always after the next thing happens. And that's being patient with your suffering. That's being patient with your not being happy now. How many of you all have lived long enough in your own mind and had enough experiences that there's a part of you that's really clicked into and really beginning to believe this idea that your real happiness is not going to come from anything outside yourself?
Yeah.
Anybody really getting that?
Yeah.
I know the younger you are, the harder it is to believe that.
The older you are.
But the older you are, you get the more. You know why? Not because you've been a negative person that's never been able to be successful. It's that you begin to see that you would have you that every time you've ever achieved anything, you were never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you didn't get what you wanted. A lot of times it's because you did,
yeah,
and you saw it wasn't what you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time when you told me that if I could get my driver's license, I was going to be in heaven. I remember being young when I thought that. Or the first time I made love, that was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I got a certain income, that's it. If I could get that car, that's it. If I could get my body looking, you know, I can think of, I'm one of these people that I know nothing outside of myself is going to make me happy because I've always gotten what I wanted.
Yep.
But once I got on the spiritual path and learned how to manifest, but once I learned that all I had to do was focus on something, put feeling and emotion behind it, and release it, and in some form or fashion it was going to be drawn into my experience if I was open, then I learned how to manifest stuff just like that. I learned how to manifest money, things, houses, clothes, bodily pleasures and physical experiences and fantasies and trips and the whole thing. And I noticed that since I hadn't dealt with my issues, I would take every one of those things that manifested and still found some way to not be happy and not be satisfied. Anybody, can I get an amen corner on that?
Amen.
Okay, man, I'm not saying that there are not people who have found things and they feel happiness with those things. But if they really feel happiness with those things and it's lasted for a long time, that's because they decided to be happy with those things. So that happiness is really coming from the inside. It's not really coming from that thing. Somebody that's still happy with the same mate that they was with 50 years ago is somebody that decided to be happy with that person, because that person has constantly changed in the last 50 years. So the thing that's making them happy with them 50 years later is the decision in their heart and mind that they made to love that joker no matter what. That's why they're still with them. It don't have nothing to do with the fact they still look the way they did when they was 14 years old. So, because people like to point to, well, there are some people that's happy, yeah, but you better believe, if you really check,
yeah,
their happiness is coming from something that's going on inside of them. It's not coming from something that person is doing outside. That's the power of us learning that projection makes perception. Because the Course says that reality really is love. But it's all the beliefs that we have that's keeping us from experiencing it. Then our consciousness draws to us the people and situations that validate what we believe. So if you believe people are no good and that they're going to deceive you and hurt you, you will draw to yourself the people that do that. And so you'll be even further convinced you can't trust people. But you don't know that those people are coming to you because of your own consciousness, your own fear. So what if you already have a consciousness that's just surrounded you with all those people? Well, then that's where the forgiveness come in. That's where I've got to learn how to look past my own perceptual errors, try not to attack them, choose for peace, try to remember who they really are, and if I can, separate to heal. Sometimes you have to separate to heal. You have to take your body away from somebody else's body to get off of them enough to see the situation clearer so that you can make the optimum choice. What the ego is going to tell you to do is stick it out and stay right up under somebody that you conflict with all the time, because your part of being committed is that you're committed to being strife all the time. So you're going to stick it out. So you're going to stay right there, you're going to argue, and you're going to fuss, and you're going to fight, because y'all going to stick it out. It would be better to go, you know, since neither one of us want to change our minds, we're both projecting, we don't want to look past our perceptual errors, we're too close. Maybe I need to get back off of you, and then when I get back off of you, I could actually see the situation in a more peaceful way. So actually my getting back off of you is actually having us stay joined. So actually, I am committed to our relationship because I'm willing to do whatever it takes for us to stay in as much peace together as we possibly can. But if I want a conflict with you all the time, I'm going to stay up in your face, not change my mind about the way that I'm going to deal with you. You're not going to change your mind about the way you're going to deal with me. We keep butting heads all the time and hate each other more and 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 more. So people who stay together but don't want to change their minds, these are two people who want to separate, because their bodies are together, but they're worlds apart. So they're actually more separate than the person that's put their bodies in separate places so that their minds can heal.
That's deep.
Yeah, because the truth is always the opposite of what we've been taught. It's diametrically opposite. Okay? So, the Course says, I use examples because to me it brings it home. So, I seek in another person what I feel is wanting in myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, that in fact is what passes for love in this dream world. What passes for love in this world is, I'm in love with you, because just think of what we can really get from each other. God, think of what we can get from each other and from each other. He says, there is no greater mistake than trying to get with somebody for what you can get, because you feel a lack within yourself that you want the other person to fulfill. He says, love is incapable of asking for anything. So that pretty much blows the fact that I've had love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He said, love doesn't ask for anything. If it's love, it's incapable of asking for anything. You know why? Because when you're in touch with love, there's nothing missing.
Sure.
There's nothing missing for you to ask for. If I've had a good meal and I'm full, I'm not going to ask for another piece of pie if I'm full. If I'm full, I don't have any demands. If I'm full, I just feel good. And out of that feeling good, I shoot out all these good energies. As a matter of fact, once I'm full, I'll pretty much let you have what's left. Call it leftovers. Right? It's like you want to be so full of love and so full of cool stuff that you just overflow on people. You're so full that you got love to spare. You got good energy to spare because nothing's missing in your life. You all have had that experience of being around people who drain the fool out of you.
Yep.
You feel so good till you get around them, and then when you leave, you're barely able to crawl out the door. They're psychic vampires. They have sucked every bit of good energy that they could possibly get. Because remember now, they believe in scarcity, right? So there's not enough. So I'm going to try to get as much as I can and give as little as I can so that I'll have a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's why a person will want to go down to a car dealer and get a Lincoln Continental, and if they can walk out of there and have paid $500 for it, then they feel like they really got over. Because the world teaches you that you try to get as much as you can for giving the least amount.
Uh-huh.
And that's a scarcity principle. So you get that $40,000 Cadillac for $500, and then you have $39,500 worth of repairs. Or something going wrong with it, or something needs to be changed. Because you're going to always get the value of what you give. That's what the Course says. That's why you set the price high, because you want a high return.
Cool.
There are people that charge $1,000 to say what I say every week, and they have more people than ever come to my class. And the reason why they do is because they charge so much. And therefore, it's more valuable to the people who come. Because if you pay $1,000 to listen to something, you're going to try to make sure you get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if something is free, then it's not as valuable. That's just a law of the universe. It has nothing to do with personal condemnation or judgment of anybody in this room. That's just the way it is.
You get what you pay for.
It's just hard. It's hard for us. We are so programmed that it's hard for us to value something that we don't pay for. But the Course says you mustn't see paying as paying. It says you should see paying as giving. Because if you saw paying as giving, then it activates the law of giving and receiving, and what you give comes right back to you in a better form than what you gave it in. But if you go in a situation and you look at it as if you're paying, then you're associating that with losing. I'm paying. That means I gave something, but I'm not getting something back in return. See the difference? So when a person thinks they're paying for something, they actually feel like they gave something away and now they don't have it anymore. But if you were to add up all of your bills and all of your expenses, if they came out to $5,000 to $6,000 a month or $4,000 or $3,000, and you said, I am giving $4,000 every month. I'm giving $4,000 every month. I'm feeding the families of Excel. I'm feeding the families of Quest. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
I helped feed you just the other day. And so I would not feel like I was being ripped off if I looked at it as giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, that money I paid for my Quest bill would come back to me in more than what I gave it. And so I would end up getting my telephone for free. These are metaphysical truth principles, but they only call for a different what? Perception. Just a different interpretation, which all of us are capable of doing. You're going to pay the bill anyway, so why not look at it in a way that doesn't make you feel like you're losing? You're going to pay it anyway. It's not like you're not going to pay it.
Talk to us about gas.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. It comes back to this principle. If you won't voluntarily give, which is the law of the universe, then you're going to create things that demand you give anyway, so you will give. And the reason why everything's going up is because we've all forgotten how to share. We've all forgotten how to give. Since we don't want to give nothing to nobody, we're a bargain, which means I'll give something to you if I think I'm getting something of equal value in return, or more, really. He says, but I forgot how to give for the sake of giving. I've forgotten how to just voluntarily share with my experience. So what we're doing as a collective consciousness is creating what appears to be scarcity so that it looks like we gotta give. Now we gotta give. Now I gotta, if I'm gonna drive my car, I gotta pay that $245. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So you're giving whether you like it or not. So what would happen if you voluntarily gave where in the areas that you love and that you value? So that you're still giving, but at least in this case, you're giving where you want to give. But it's no such thing as hoarding. It's no such thing as I'm not going to give. I'm going to try to be as tight as I can with a dollar. You know, no, you. You're gonna. Your car's gonna break down. You're gonna have leaky plumbing. You're gonna need to go to the doctor. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You think you're getting a little bit of head, and as soon as you think you're getting ahead, then some unexpected bill come up. It's the lack principle. It's the scarcity principle. We think there's not enough, and so we don't share, which creates the lack that makes us give so that we can start receiving. So it's almost like we're forcing ourselves to give by setting up situations that we have to give in to save ourselves. It's really saving you, because without that, you wouldn't give at all. You wouldn't give nothing. If you're a stingy person and you think there's not enough, you're not going to give at all. You think the less you give, the better you're doing. So it's just really decreasing all your prosperity, because everything in the universe is based on the principle of giving and receiving, right? So you go, because you're poor and you broke. And so, if I had more, I'd give more. So I'm just waiting until I get it, and then I'm going to give it. Well, the universe is in a reciprocal relationship to you. It ain't going to give you a darn thing until you give in some way, whether it's money, whether it's of your heart, whether it's of you helping, or whether it's you sharing. Somehow or another, you got to kick that sharing in, right? But the ego person, they don't do that. The ego person, they think what makes them stronger is getting and not giving. So they're always trying to bargain with everything and everybody. That's lack consciousness. Okay, let's take a breath. We're going to bring it in. Stop at this point. And I'd just like you to just take a moment. And I'd like you to acknowledge yourself silently. You know, just acknowledge yourself for being willing to put yourself in a situation where you were told that you deserve abundance and you deserve to be happy and you deserve to have peace. I promise you that there's nothing that I would love to do more than be a channel for love and truth to come into your life to heal you and me. Because I've been on the path now long enough to realize that the more I help and support you to be who you are and to be safe and to be loved, that's also going to create more of it for me in my own personal life. I also want to attract people into my life that are not trying to get from me, but also would like to share, and I would like to share with them. I also would like to attract people into my life that's not trying to manipulate, control me, or dominate me, or be angry at me, and mad at me, and guilt-tripping me. I want to be in the world that's beyond my own perceptual errors. I want to love myself enough to not want to attract people to me to witness to the lacks in myself. And if you are here tonight, then the part of you that wants to know your power brought you here, because the part of you that doesn't love you would never put you in a room where someone is telling you that you are beautiful and you are unconditionally loved. The part of you that hates you would never have come through that door. So do you have a part of you that loves you? Do you have a part of you that's trying to take you to another level of happiness and safety? Of course you do. You know you do, because you're here. So I just want to acknowledge you for being an incredible people, incredible beings, a blessing in my life, a blessing in your life, and a blessing for everyone around you. I want to acknowledge you. So I'd like to ask you to think of one person in your life that you would love to send out some energies of healing
and some energies of help right now. Someone in your life that you know may be misperceiving themselves or need help, or who are calling for love, or who are in despair. And what the Course says we should do is say to that person, let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. Someone you love, someone you know that's in pain, that's misperceiving, that has the perceptual errors happening right now. And remember that one of my favorite lessons in the Course in Miracles workbook is, all that I give is given to myself. All that I give is given to myself. And I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you who share, and who share with me financially in my class, because this is how I earn a living in the world. This is the way I fulfill my function. And I appreciate your valuing it enough to actually give something. I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate you. I want to give more. I appreciate you. Thank you for everything you've ever shared with me at any level. And I just want to love you more. I just want to be saner. Because you all, we are moving into another world of perception. And you may still be seeing some of the old witnesses. But let me tell you, the new ones are bearing down on you right now. The new ones are coming, and they're going to blow your mind with their beauty. But you're in that in-between state right now, between when you let go of the old, but the new hasn't completely arrived. Stay steadfast. Don't be tempted to go back and try projection and blame and lack and getting and controlling and dominating and putting yourself down one more time. It's not necessary for you to suffer and sacrifice what you love and what you value in order to be happy. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Thank you.
Here it is. What's cool about the people that I draw here is that I really feel the appreciation, and I experience the appreciation, and I do. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate you too. Let me pass. I want some passes from here. Yeah. Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next Course class. Okay, that was a good one. I need to hear that.
Yeah, everybody else, they're just using, I don't know, they're just perceiving me in their own perception.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with me.
No.
Like I am still
whole.
I'm still
fighting. That's a big one. That's a big one. Yeah. Yeah, and if you're clear about that, then you don't have to buy into whatever it is they're saying to you.
Right.
That's the part that's so cool about that. You know, great.
It helps
you hear. A lot.
Yeah.
And then it helps to have someone in your life that reminds you of that. Like I would remind you of that, you would remind me of that, because sometimes the veil of forgetfulness hits me, and I find myself buying into that stuff. And I need someone else that's in my life that is willing to remind me that, no, you know, you may make mistakes or you might make errors, but who you are is basically love. You're a good person. You just might make some mistakes. I'm not my mistakes. That's not my identity. And we act like a person's mistakes, that's their identity. You know. Early, anybody else?
You said be impatient about your peace.
Being impatient about your peace. That was a good one. Just what you're doing now. In other words, I'm impatient now about doing the things that's going to bring me the joy and peace that I want. I don't wait around and stall around and procrastinate like I used to. I go ahead and apply the truth quicker in my life than I ever have before, because I want to get out of the pain now. That's what I mean by being impatient. The course calls it being impatient with meeting love or God.
Impatience for me with reading the course, because I'm reading it more now, can be like just seeing your insanity as soon as it comes up.
And you, and the fact that you do something about it means you're impatient with your insanity.
Then choose for peace.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Check. You know what's so cool about impatience, using impatience that way, is we already know how to be impatient. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. We already know how to be impatient. So rather than fighting our tendency to be impatient, Course in its brilliance is saying, let me give you a new purpose for your impatience. Then, because you already know how to do impatience, now you're just impatient about something that'll benefit you.
Here's my
Yeah, you can have cute patience. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I cannot see anything in anyone else that's not in me. Now I knew that, but tonight I kind of went.
Would you mind if I qualified that a little bit in a way that could make you feel even better?
Yeah.
What you're seeing in someone else is something that's in your mind, not in you.
Okay. Thank you.
See,
it's an anger.
Yeah. Think about it. You'd be a lot more cool about saying, "Hey, I got that's in my mind."
Yeah.
See, you own it faster. You deal with it faster. But when you say it's like if I look at you and I say that screwed up characteristic in you. Is it me? The Course says, now, where only one of us was messed up, now both of us are. So how is that an improvement for anybody? I said, that's a brilliant way of, that's the truth. So it's not, we are cool.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We are divine beings. We have some learnings that's off the hook.
Yeah.
One more person? Right. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
I've always said, my family, my father and my stepmother don't have a clue who I am. Those people don't see me. They don't know me. It occurred to me tonight that I don't have a clue who they are.
Bingo! Whoa. And that's what happened last week when I went home and I had this incredible healing and love that happened between me and my son and daughter at a level that we had never experienced before. We have two entirely different belief systems. But we both wanted to love and we wanted to join and we wanted to go beyond. We realized it was our perceptions that was keeping us from being connected, and which meant I didn't know them either. I just saw them however I saw them, and then they realized they were seeing me however they saw me, but we both knew it couldn't be true if it was making us be separate in any way, and none of us wanted to be, so we were able to go past it because we wanted to join. That was what was so cool. So you're right. Isn't that great, though? You think you're bored with people, and then all of a sudden you realize you've never met them. Now you got these really cool, exciting beings that you've never been around. You realize that you got bored because you got bored with your way of seeing them, and they were always validating that in your perception, so you were bored. But the minute I take my perception off you, it's no telling what, especially when you feel safe. You let me see who you are when you feel safe and unjudged, and you become fun. Yeah. This is cool.
We got one more.
Yeah, my brother.
Because I'm actually dealing with a little bit of financial situations right now, but it's really just like I'm giving. The gas thing was totally it. I was filling my gas today and it was off of 6th and Spear, the Dun Shams 265
there. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, first thing I say is, George Bush's friends are getting rich, but
mm-hmm.
As the first thing I say, but you really, really want to think about it, my truck's from there, they'll give me from point A to point B. He's giving in a totally different way.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like taking a slightly different perception of that, and it'll come back to you in a way you will amaze you. I'm trying to think that I said tonight about adding up your expenses. Add up your expenses and then tell yourself paying is giving. Like I put that up on the wall. Paying is giving. I used to put it on my checks. Paying is giving, because I wanted to associate paying that I'm giving, not that I'm losing. And I absolutely saw my financial situation start to transform itself, because you really are giving. So you're not making up something. That's the truth. You are giving.
One more thing about your trip. Tell us just three things about your little granddaughter that was just
Well, the three things about my granddaughter was extra was that she gave me unconditional love right off the bat. She totally recognized me. She even though I hadn't been around her, she was reaching for me even though she was in her mother's hands. And I hadn't even seen her since she was 3 months old, and she was 17 months old, you know. And I also saw that she really checks things out before she interacts. She'll really just look at you, and really, so I know she's learning discernment in this life. And also, one thing I realized around her is that she wanted all the lessons that come with being beautiful. So those are the three things that I saw with my granddaughter. So don't forget, you can always get copies of the class on CD for $5, and I make the CD and bring it to next week. So we got a tabloid if you want to remember this and hear it more. I appreciate you all, and you're going out in the lab. And so may the course be with you.
May the course be with you also.
And I also would like to get you on my mailing list also. So, you know, I'll send it over here. And if you want to be on there.